Again, Twin Ellison, some of the great points, great tips that he shared with us, that you really need to be solution-oriented, need to be ready for the scalable efforts, because he's right. More and more and more and more, we have people who are, you know, we have leaders who are saying, you're going to have to do all this work with fewer employees than we ordinarily would have had. We're going to get more work done with fewer employees. And so, although it's not the necessarily the fairest way to do things, it is the way that a lot of people are going. And so, be a good idea for us to just have our minds made up that we're not going to go in complaining about it. But just go on in there and do your best. And doing your best, go ahead and find ways to rest when you're able to rest. Serious business. The more we work, the more strenuous the work is, the more important it is that we unwind when it's time, when we have the opportunity to unwind. So don't just keep pushing yourself. You know, work is over and you're ready to go ahead and just, you know, go about the business of just chilling a while. Chill. Don't just keep working. You know, I know a lot of us are, you know, a lot of people are in school and they go to work. You have responsibilities that have to do specifically with the house itself, with the automobile itself. And I know. But I'm just saying, even if you have to schedule break times in to make sure that you get your breaks, you get a chance to unwind, you get a chance to be refreshed, do it. Yeah, don't just wear yourselves out. Torin Ellis sharing some outstanding information with us, having to do with the pursuit of the career. All right, let's take a look some more at what Pew Research has found out about our aging families. And again, in Germany, Italy, and America, shared with you some of their key findings. And one of the things they found, too, is that in these three countries, about half or more of the adults who have at least one child, 18 years of age or older, say they provided financial help to an adult child in the 12 months preceding the survey. At least as many in each country have assisted grown children also in non-monetary ways. What a situation to have people placed, to place people in. The people in the middle are being squeezed. Because let's face it now, it is tough for everyone except the wealthy. And you have the people taking care of the parents and their young adult children, while they themselves, in many cases, are struggling. So what's going to be happening with our elderly, whether that be us or our children? I know we talked about by 2050, but what about by 2080, if we get that far? Our parents are struggling. Their children are struggling, not as much. And their children's children, the grandchildren of the senior citizens, are struggling. In many cases, even more than their own parents are. So what is this group, the young adults, who are struggling worse than their parents, going to do to help their parents when they become adults, when the young adults now become older adults in their 40s, early 50s? and the parents who helped them during their struggle. Are in need of assistance. Notably, in all three countries, financial help is more likely to flow down to adult children than up to aging parents. But when it comes to sweat equity, about as many people in each country are assisting senior age parents with their needs as are helping adult children with child care, errands, housework, and other day-to-day tasks. Now, that's the thing we need to be thinking about. It's not just financial assistance that people are needing. How many of you have had parents who have asked you to come by and help do such and such? Maybe move this furniture around. Maybe rake the yard, cut the grass, repair an item that has broken down, an appliance that has broken down, or maybe come check it out, take a look at it. If it looks like a professional is going to be required, you place the call, schedule the appointment, find out what schedule is going to work for your parent, and then coordinate with the company that's going to send out the repair person. I tell you, there's just so much. And what makes that so intriguing is that we're reading so often that not only are people living longer, but generally speaking, we hear so much, we read so much about people's health actually improving. In the sense that people in their 60s today may be somewhat healthier than people were when they were in their 60s 30, 40, 50 years ago. We talk about technology, improvements there, along with the improvements in technology, the improvements in healthcare, etc. Of course, to, you know, muddy the waters a little bit, we also still have this problem with more and more people in general being obese, which can help fight against the gains, some of the gains that we would experience from improved technology, which leads to improved health care, because in some cases, people's health is worsening, not because of the technology, not because of the health care, but because of the lack of personal care. Overeating. But we're hearing and reading more and more about older people who are going about the business of eating better, exercising more. And I do hear from time to time more older people talk about how, and I know this is doesn't apply to all senior citizens, but some of them talk about how they're no longer finding it important to stay up all night watching TV. They'll go ahead and record some of the programs that they really want to get into and watch them at hours that are more conducive to being entertained. Rather than 1, 2, and 3 in the morning, especially for those who are retired, maybe 1, 2, and 3 in the afternoon. They recorded it, and they can watch it at their leisure. All right. When we come back, let's wind up our discussion of racial preferences. The people who have been stirring up things on college campuses across the country, the gentleman who was picked up after having threatened so many black students, saying he was going to kill or shoot all black students at the University of Missouri who showed up at school. That goes beyond racial preference. That's the racism that I was talking about before that we often discuss. Racism, which carries with it feelings of hostility, malice, sometimes hatred, a desire to bring pain into the lives of people based on their color, your hatred of their color, even when unprovoked. Can you imagine people who are the victims of unfair treatment finally saying, look, we've been talking about this, we need help. And finally protesting outdoors just to be treated fairly, to be treated humanely, to be treated decently. And because they took that step, this tremendous ugliness being reared up by people who have that in their hearts, their minds, because that's who they are. I tell you, I truly appreciate the people of all colors who genuinely care about peoples of all colors. Let's see if we can take this a step further, though, by just kind of examining some of the findings, some of the outcomes that were discovered when surveys were given, tests were given, surveys were given to people to find hidden racial preferences. And again, with those racial preferences being hidden from the person who embraced those preferences. Be right back.